and the Jews who were left alive. There came a visionary man who turned his wrath into a plan. Abba Kovner was his name. As a partisan, he earned his fame. He once was a Vilna rebel Jew, a poet warrior through and through. He met some surviving ghetto fighters, Zionists and socialists conspired. They gathered in a Lublin flat around the kitchen table sat. They gave themselves a Hebrew name, and with this word they did proclaim that vengeance is what God would will were there a God. So they kill
6 million Germans.
You might say it was insane.
6 million Germans.
And it was misdirected pain.
6 million Germans.
They didn't want the war to end.
6 million Germans.
They want one thing, Nakam revenge. For every Jew the Nazis gassed. For every racist law they passed. For every wrong that wasn't right. For all the dead Nakam would fight. They formed a band of 40 strong to straighten out what had been wrong. They chose to poison water mains. The Jews of old were blamed. Nuremberg and Hamburg town, their actions were the underground. They took jobs by the riverside and waited for the poison to arrive. Walter went to Tel Aviv to see what help he could receive. But the Haganah did not agree to join in his conspiracy.
6 million Germans.
You might say it wasn't right.
6 million Germans.
That an eye for an eye we saw without sight.
6 million Germans.
They didn't want to make amends.
6 million Germans.
They wanted one thing, Nakam revenge.
Tyra Sue Hills, Rosengren, Daniel Kahn and the Painted Bird, they von their album Partisaner und Parasiten, Partisans and Parasites. Das ist unser einziges Programm, Repertoire-Programm, Radio-Show mit David Mandelbaum und Lisa Burko.
In Jenny Romaine wird sein unsere Gast, a chashere in teire Gasthand. In ich wünsche euch alle a git gebencht gesind jor a gemar gesime teuwe was soll ich sagen gesind ist der Hauptsat in Parnusse in ich will sagen dass ich bin sehr glücklich und sehr sehr well, let me say this. I'm very moved and very, very gratified at the support that we have gotten up till now. And I just want to wish everybody a happy and a healthy new year, all of you out there that aren't listening. And it's wonderful to have a show where people aren't listening. Because you can have long pauses. We can film sich heimisch, as I mean. Sehr
heimisch. So wie in seinem eigenen Heim.
I you know, as I. Bid die Jungs. Ich will reden ein bisschen wegen deiner Sie zu Polen.
Ah.
Das heißt, dass unsere Kollege, Theresa Tova ist mit der Portok zurück heimgefahren für ein Festival in Warschau, wo es ist eine Aufführung von der heutige Ida Kaminska Truppe. Bin ich gerecht, Leute?
Ich weiß nicht,
es ist ein Festival. Sie ist dort gewesen, Raffi Goldwasser ist dort gewesen. Sie hat zurückgekommen und sie hat gesagt, dass es gewesen ist. In meiner Meinung ist, als was tippt man auf vor einem Polen für ein Festival?
Mit dem Kopf verdient man ein bisschen. Man verdient ein bisschen. Sie zahlen Geld.
Sie zahlen Geld nicht. Was soll ich sagen? Oh, es ist Hand Tannis. Nein, es ist Zäum Gedalien.
Danke.
Weißt du, was das ist?
Ich habe früher das erzählen.
Es ist eine Repetition für Yom Kippur.
Ja, gut.
Weil der Handtag Tannis ist nur von Hand in der Früh bis man sieht Sterne in Himmel. Mhm. Es ist nur also ein halber Tannis. Yom Kippur, man messt nicht und trinkt nicht wie sagt man, Mischkiel?
Es ist
eine bessere Repetition. Die Rabunim haben ziegegreit welche Referenz. Lass er essen, gesinnte Hai. Ein kränker Wäschere, es gesinnte Hai. Aber die bist gewesen in Polen. Die ist gefahren in Polen. Mit Studenten. Nicht ganz sagen, wie lang bist du gefahren dort, wie Arim?
Ich bin gewesen, um 2 Wochen.
Es ist ein Stück Zeit, 2 Wochen. In das damals, dass Arim gefahren hat, sagt mit ja, Madrich, also wie man sagt.
Ja, ich weiß nicht.
Ich
bin gefahren das erste Mal mit verschiedenen Studenten von Deutschland. Das ist nicht kein deutscher Studenten, nur miserliche europäische, Amerikaner, verschiedene Studenten, was haben studiert in Berlin. Und also wie Berlin ist, so in Polen, mit Alex mit Nasir in Krakow und in Breslau und andere Städte dort in Polen. Und ein zweites Mal bin ich geboren allein und eingestanden in verschiedene Youth Hostels und gesehen ein bisschen, ich habe gewollt sehen, Warsche, wo mein Seide hat gewohnt, Vater Mohamme und andere Sachen. Ja, ich bin geboren für sich
das allein. Das gesehen, dann Seide, dann Familie, dann Mischbuche, Bichlau. Sie haben gehabt, etwas, ein Stück Real Estate dort, ein Haus, ein Feld, etwas.
Nicht, denn ich meine, mein Sohn ist gewesen sehr jung, Vater Mohamme. Er hat sicher nicht gehabt, keine eigenen Tiere. Er hat gedungene Tiere oder ein Zimmerroll bei ihm. Ich meine, für Pavia-Gas. Das ist gewesen, etwas, ein Gas mit der Twisse, dachte ich. Etwas auf der Gas hat er gewohnt.
Aber
die Mischpoche hat ein Dier oder ein Haus in Pinsk. Er stammt von Pinsk. Aber Pinsk ist ein Teil von Weißrussland. Und in Weißrussland, in Belarus, bin ich kein Mann nicht gewesen.
Aha. Nee, aber bist gewesen dort in Stutt, in Flugzeug, in touristische Platzen, wo es mir verkauft, verschiedene Sachen. Das gesehen, etwas Laukes, wo es sehen aus wie Karikaturen von Jeden.
Ich habe nicht gesehen, aber ich habe nicht gesucht. Ich habe nicht gewusst, dass es da als eine Sache. Ich denke, also wenn ich in Krakow dachte, ich habe gegessen in etwas ein jüdischen Restaurant. Oder ein Kosher-Style etwas Restaurant, wo sicher sind in Kniden nicht gewesen. Ja, es ist gewesen. Ich habe gegessen, etwas Gulasch, mit Chaser oder ich weiß nicht, was es ist gewesen in dem jüdischen Restaurant. Es ist gewesen ein bisschen mit, ne? Aber ich habe damals nicht gewusst, wegen der ganzen Industrie von Verkäufen jüdischer Sachen dort in Polen. Und,
aha. No, es ist eine schwere Frage von mir, weil ich bin nicht so, es bringt mir nicht so, der alte Heim Polen, als ich soll dort fahren, ja, man bezahlt, öfter bezahlt man. Aber was zeigt es?
Ich will dir sagen, ich habe immer gesagt, ich bin ein Teil von einer Internet-Chat-Gruppe. Und immer zu von Israel hat gesagt, etwas interessant, wenn es ist gekommen zu reden, immer hat geschickt einen Annons wegen einem Jüdisch-Festival in Rumänien. Like in Rumänien kennen dieselbe Sachen. Ja? Es ist nicht gewesen so schlecht wie in Polen. Sie haben nicht ausgehärgert, alle sehr Jiden. Gewisse Jiden haben sie nicht gehärgert. Und deswegen sind bittere Antisemiten. Und es ist gut, was die Jiden sind, weg von dort. Aber dort macht man ein jüdisches Festival. Und der Yisroel-Bürger hat geantwortet, nun, für was haben wir in Israel nicht kein jüdisches Festival? Weil faktisch ist es ein jüdisches Festival in Toronto, in Kleskamp, in Dorten, in Do, in Rumänien, yeah, in Polen, in Peterburg, aber in Israel ist nicht da. Ich weiß nicht, ob man darf ein Teil zu den Polaken, was die dann in Dafke ja für interessiert, in unserer Kultur, und was unsere Menschen sind in Dafke nicht für interessiert. Das ist nicht das Problem von den Polaken, das ist ein Problem bei uns.
Aha. Ja, ne, das ist wahr. Aber ich weiß nicht, wie zu Der Pschat ist also. Es wird nicht sein in unserem Leben, in deinem Einiglachsleben, wird man nicht sehen, als jeden Sohn zurückführen zu Polen.
Was sagst du das? Wer weiß?
Nee, was trägt uns?
Ich will dir sagen, ich hab meine Cousines in Israel. Etliche von sie haben bekommen die polnische Bürgerschaft. Durch den Seiden, aber Seiden ist gewesen ein polnischer Bürger. Nee. Sie sind doch Israel. Sie haben gedient in der israelischen Armee. Sie haben nicht keine große Liebschaft für Polen.
Ja.
Aber Polen ist ein Teil von Europa. Und wir hat der polnische Bürgerschaft kommen gehen, arbeiten und studieren in Europa und Geld. Ich meine, der MS ist in heutigen Zeiten, ist man eine Sache mehr sicher mit dem Leben in Polen wie in Israel. Wenn man sagt, in dem MS, für eine Sache jeden ist das Leben gefährlich, jeden Tag. Man schießt Raketen, man macht Bomben, man tut komische Sachen.
Das ist wahr, aber ich sehe nicht, Hamoin Jiden, was fuhren zurück in Polen.
Meine Mama hat es noch nicht gewesen, Israel.
Was ist nicht so gefährlich dort wie in Israel?
Ja, nun versteht sich, der Urban ist nicht so lang zurück. Es ist nur 65 Jahre. Es ist nicht heute Morgen bei sich alt sehen. Aber meine Mama hat mir gesagt, eine interessante Sache. Sie ist gewesen in Israel mit der Portek zurück. Sie hat gesagt, dass alle Menschen von hier da reden wegen Vorenk in Berlin. Alle Israel und Vorenk in Berlin und verbringen in Berlin. Dort ist billig und interessant und kommende Sachen. Ich bin sicher, dass mit der 10 Jahre zurück wollte keiner nicht gefahren in Berlin. Berlin ist gewesen etwas ein Treffen in der deutschen Stadt und keiner will nicht dahin fahren. Und dann ist es schön geworden in der Mode für Israel und zu fahren in Berlin.
Hey, mach also, wie, Kopf von der Akasche. Sie du 6 Millionen Deutschen in Berlin?
Nicht schon 3 Millionen.
Nicht 6?
Nicht 6, nein. Es ist eine größere Stadt, aber weniger Menschen.
Aber sie ist eine größere Stadt. Daniel Kahn wohnt in Berlin. Nein, er arbeitet dort.
Ja.
Okay, das ist
Efschessen Stua. Hast du einen Plan dort?
Was meinst du? Das ist ein bisschen moderner von mir, wenn ich höre so Sachen.
Ja, ich weiß nicht, dass es immer beklaut ist, dass es dann ausgetragen
ist. Ich habe euch gelernt, dass du gewähne so ein Plan, dass wir so versammeln die Beere Mayim.
Die Wasser, ich weiß nicht, wie man sagt das. Die Wasserehren.
Ja, nee. Wer kann wissen, wo es so ein Nisuyen hat. Ich bin ein Sinn in ein Einigel von Menschen, die sind umgekommen und übergelebt euch. Ich kann mich nicht vorstellen, was sei haben übergelebt in was für ein Räuschen das hat gehabt für in seinem Leben. Es ist eine moderne Sache, es ist eine sehr... Ich kann euch nicht vorstellen, also starke Geschenk für eine Kuma.
Wir sind nicht gewinnt. Was können wir tun? Ich meine, sicher
Menschen, haben die Deutschen... Sie du gewinnt. Avram Avinu hat gerät mit Gott, gebeten Gott, ob du ein richtiger Mensch in der ganzen Stadt, wolltest du nicht gehabt, Rachmunis?
Er hat gesagt, 10 Menschen.
10. Aber er hat ungeheuer mit der Hände, nein?
Ja.
Sind nicht gewählt, so ein Pusche, das sagt, sind nicht gewählt. 10, nein. Es ist ein philosophische... dieselbe Sache. Wie kann man sagen, dass so eine Sache... Ich kann sagen, dass die Deutschen haben eine nationale Teva, was ist Seire in Seires allein. Was kann man sagen? Wir können reinfallen in eine Sachfehler dort. Aber sie du gewähne eine Teil von der deutschen Volk. in mir wissen nicht wie als wie wiffel sei seinen gewein weil de sonnem haben sei euch gehargit und gemordet weiß mir nicht aber so du gewein a sach datschen wo so den Makrif gewein sare eigene Leben für jeden.
Nicht das.
Aber sie gewein, wie viel willst du, wie viel bedarfst du?
Wollt gedacht sein, er sagt mehr. Das ist
spannend. you're a real tough case, you know that?
ich bin in Deutschland, ich habe studiert die Sachen.
Ja. Ja,
nee. Ich meine, was kann man sagen? Sie haben, als auch die Deutschen haben gewusst, Punkt, was sie tun. Und,
sie sind nicht gewähnt, bloß die Deutschen. Die Europäische haben eine lange Geschichte von Sinne.
Sinneskind.
Aber es ist ein Teil von seiner historischen Geschichte. Was kommt hin? In a viele Hand. Sie leiden von derselben Krankheit.
Ich weiß nicht wegen dem. Sie haben etwas. Es ist eine ganze Debatte wegen dem. Es müsste man besser nicht.
Sie sind krank. Sind nicht, you know. Meinst du, das ist ein. Es ist ein Kränk, es ist ein Harpe in der Schande, es ist ein, you know, man darf um Rachmunis auf so einen Menschen.
Ich meine, man darf nicht abgehoben Rachmunis auf so einen Menschen. Andere Menschen, was haben besser verdient, unsere Rachmunis.
No, öfter bist du gerecht, aber wir kennen sagen, als Klau Datschen seinen Antisemiten in schlechte Menschen. Sie du genieg ekelhafte Jiden.
Ja, 100%.
Sie sind nicht...
Aber lass mal sagen, als in dem Lachumme sind gestorben herum 3 Millionen Deutschen.
Ja.
Und das ist eine Sache. Es ist nicht 6 Millionen, aber es ist eine Hälfte von 6 Millionen.
Ja, das die Sache ist auch so, als du gewähnt 80 Millionen Deutschen.
Ja. Nur warte, es ist ein gewaltiger Unterschied.
You know,
aber keiner weint nicht und beklagt sich, was man hat gehargert, 3 Millionen Deutschen. Jeder weiß, die Deutschen haben gehargert, ich weiß, 20 Millionen andere Menschen. Sind in 3 Millionen Deutschen euch Mädel gestorben? Ist was gemeint tun? Es ist nicht das.
Ja. Ich habe Sprüche in Deutschland.
Ich weiß es.
Ich bin geboren in Stuttgart. Was soll ich sagen? Es ist eine schwere Sache. Aber I'm gonna switch to English because in a few minutes we're gonna be speaking with Jenny Romain. Jenny.
Okay.
As you know, is she's one of my heroes. She's just a wonderful a theater person with a clear vision and a really straight arrow dedication to what she does. I don't always understand it. But that's only because she's just a lot smarter than I am. So
I say this for myself.
So I just.
I say every day in class.
But I am privileged to be working with her in the Sukkos Mob, this year's Sukkos Mob. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be hearing from her what that is and what it means and how it came about. She is also. Well, she's the artistic director of Great Small Works, a theater company. She has a long history in, how shall I put it, a populist theater, radical theater. You got to be careful what you say today, because even though nobody's listening, you never know. So, but so you can't use certain words. I feel constrained. You know, I feel like somebody's recording this, and a red flag is going to go up if I use the word revolutionary. But she is a truly a revolutionary in the finest sense of the word, and it's just a joy to be working on theater that is for people in the street, for everybody, and that is meant to, you know, to me, theater, as I've said before, it's really an exercise in tikkun olam, and I think Jenny, more than anybody, embodies that for me. What she does, her theater, really serves a purpose. It has meaning beyond the stage, beyond the. But it is also quite. Have we got Jenny yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jenny, how you doing?
Thank God, as they say.
We were just talking about you. Well, listen, let's get right to it, because I know your time is limited. You're in the middle of preparing for the Sukkos Mob. So what is the Sukkos Mob, and how did it come about?
The Sukkos Mob is a folk play, David. And it just happens that the folk whose play it is are these sort of charmingly queer, in that sense of their interests know no limits way. And basically, I'm a Yiddish theater maker, a Yiddish spectacle maker, and I have a great love for Yiddish culture of all kinds. I come from a secular Yiddishist background, but I worked at the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research for about 13 years in the sound archive, and there I got to get a sense of the whole picture of Ashkenaz, and spent a lot of time looking at how Jews lived in interwar Poland as opposed to how they died. So I just had the sense of like how fanciful and what a big continuum of existence there was for Jews before the Second World War. And I've always been interested in making art that speaks across that chasm, but also has a kind of place to it. So I started seeing what the Hasidic people were doing during Sukkot, and they were just doing these amazing carny entertainments, and I wanted to get in on the action. So I started researching Sukkot, and I saw Anika Malavi actually mentioned to me all this stuff about the rain dances, and I was like, wow, this is dramaturgy. So started mixing my interest in the carnivalesque and the carny, like Coney Island carny, and the Yiddish stuff and the liturgical stuff, and invented this thing called the Sukkos Mob, which is a folk play that deals with the themes of the holiday and current political events.
Okay. Well, how long has this been going on?
It started right after Hurricane Katrina, because I just couldn't believe, you know, this, like, answer us on the day we call, you know, and crying out for rain, and there just seemed something so connected about calling out to the great whoever was listening, and rain, and you know, I just wanted to make a public statement after Katrina. So that was actually really a big procession that had 100 people in it, and it was a series of 3 rain dances.
Wow.
And that's how that started, yeah.
You are the artistic director of Great Small Works, is that right?
I'm the co-artistic director. There are 3
co-artistic. Please let us know who the other, your partner is.
Okay, there are 6 of us.
Wow.
And John Bell, Trudy Cohen, Stephen Kaplan, Jenny Romaine, Mark Sussman, Roberto Rossi. I think that's 6 of us.
Uh-huh.
And we have been working together for over 2 decades, and we take turns being the leaders on projects, but we're a collective, which means you're never alone. It's kind of great. You're always working with a team. And it helped us survive. We have a studio in Dumbo, Brooklyn, and sort of an extended community of a couple hundred people that work with us on very giant projects. And we also host festivals like the Honk Festival of Radical Brass Bands. People from Great Small Works who live in Boston do that. And we host the Troy Theater Festival and spaghetti dinners.
What is, you know, I remember the word collective, I remember from long ago. What was it that kept you striving within that framework and made you survive the, I don't know, what shall I call it, the Jerry Rubin syndrome?
Well, we had been part, all of us had been part of groups that had leaders, artistic directors, and that was cool, but we just never felt like anybody wanted to be the boss. We wanted to take turns. So everybody takes responsibility on a given project, but it means like the Circus Mob is my project, and the folks from Great Small Works support it by letting us use the space, which we we sustain together. By supporting it, you know, with the finances of the group and the group's name and spirit, but they couldn't necessarily. Sometimes people from Great Small Works have been in it, but they can't right now. So sometimes we'll do shows all together. And the spirit of the collective is just having a group of six. And we're very efficient about making decisions. We just never felt like we needed a leader. We all were leaders, all wanted to take responsibility for the group. And we take turns being artistic. So it's like, if I don't want to be in a project, I don't have to be. And I also don't have to be the head of it. I can just be in it. Sometimes we make things where we're all equally artistic director, and that's really challenging. But we have ways to do that, and we share responsibility. It works out quite well. So if you wanted to put your blood, sweat, and tears into something that someone could fire you from.
Right.
You know, it just and also, like, it's just a nice way to share responsibility for growing something and sustaining it.
I'm just having a ball working with you in the Circus Mob. I don't know if I mentioned it, but it's my privilege to be working with Jenny in this year's Circus Mob. But you've also been involved in some other efforts. You have a Purim, an annual Purim thing that geometrically gotten bigger and bigger. And what's going to be the future of that, do you think?
Well, I think that, it's just people love to do it. And that's another communally dedicated thing. It used to be something that I directed. And with Adrian Cooper and Frank London and a bunch of us at Great Small Works initially did them and had audience participation and people from the community working on them. And then gradually people from the community got more and more interested in actually building them. So I would be like an artistic director of a large project that included everybody putting in their 2 cents, as well as partnering with political organizations and sort of getting some messages out about political campaigns that were going on, not Republican, Democrat, but more grassroots organizing, with the idea that we need to celebrate. And Purim, you know, not only is it a time for satire and ridicule, but it's also a time to, like, rehearse what you want to happen and sort of have these giant public fantasies. So we've done so many different versions. We've done the Purim show. And 1 year, for example, we were partnering with good old Lower East Side, and they had done 100 oral histories with people who were long-term residents of the Lower East Side. So we used their verbatim voices in our Purim spiel, and it was all about housing and affordable housing on the Lower East Side, but it had this incredible quality of verbatim voice. Mm-hmm. So Vashti and, you know, it was him, and it was just a great, great thing. So we had a chance to do a lot of formal experimentation and political thinking and just crazy carnivalesque aesthetics.
What is this year's Circus Mob pointing to? What are the things you want people to take away from it, and what do you?
Well, I really want to address what a tough time this is for us and how the country seems very polarized. And, you know, this anti-immigration legislation and this Islamophobia and then the crisis with the Gulf and the oil and the economy tanking. And, like, there's a lot of things going on that are incredibly disturbing and I would say are creating a panic in myself and I'm sure for a lot of other people. People's futures are uncertain. We don't know if we're going to have employment. You know, it's a crisis time. And I went to the U.S. Social Forum this year, and I got to hear a lot of really smart activists and elders talk about solutions thinking and models and ways to sort of I don't know if you'd call it a post-capitalist kind of thinking, but just sort of saying that a lot of the models of things we want to happen are actually things we can make happen. And just trying to think about how what models we have in our past for sustainable functional ideas. So we focus on that this year in the Sukkot in looking at traditional food waste, East European food waste, including pickling, and you know the idea of that yours is a future with a past. Or I should say it better. Yeah, it's not like saying that our past is a future. It's more like saying our future has a usable past, and that the things we can draw on is this pre-fossil fuel grid way of raising food and sharing food. And so it's just trying to give a little solutions model and talk about how in the city you might be able to eat fresh fish or, you know, and it's very funny, and it reflects on the themes of the holidays. It's to uplift the spirits of the audience because we're supposed to experience joy as sisters, and to reflect on the mysteries of the natural world and have political hope for the coming year. Because I do feel that it's like a little independent media station saying, don't despair, get strategic. You can do more than you think you can, and this is the moment to do it. And this will summon our greatest creativity.
Jenny, I know your time is limited, and I know you're going to have to go soon. I wanted to talk about something that you were involved with I'm so sorry I never got to see it, but I always think about it, and that is Gluckel of Hameln. Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about that, and how did you come to want to do that? What led you to that whole thing?
Well, I actually got a commission from this feminist organization called Mayan and the Jewish Women's Archive because they wanted to organize Jewish Women's History Month for Women's History Month, which is all Women's History Month. But they wanted to make these beautiful posters about famous Jewish women just, you know, for educational purposes so people would know that during Women's Month they would think about Jewish women too. And so one of them was Gluckel Hameln. There was like Rose Schneiderman, Gluckel Hameln, and Henrietta Zold or something like that, those three women. And they asked if I would do some kind of public programming. And I read the book, and of course it's like, that was the worst nightmare of Jews talking about money, because she talks about money in every other breath. Like, you know, it was a pity that that man got shot to death in the woods, and he was worth only 20 Reichstalers when he died. And she talks about, you know, it was like shocking. But then the more I read it, I just got into her storytelling style, and this lurid, you know, The more translations of it you read, or if you read it in Yiddish, you know, it's just incredible what she's doing. She's trying to keep her reader entertained, and then she's doing a little mooster, you know, like, this is how you should act. And then she's telling her own story. And she was basically a transcontinental businesswoman who had her children planted in all different countries.
That's right.
Her husband died at a young age, and she began writing a memoir to alleviate her sadness. And she would write at night. And I was just really into this idea of learning more about how Jews functioned in Europe at the time. And this idea of this independent, fierce businesswoman who followed a different set of laws than were popular. And I was feeling that way. You know, I was working in the East Village at that time, and Rudy Giuliani was the mayor, and he was so mean and so cruel, cutting after-school programs and decimated the community center where we had our studio and selling. It was so horrible. The capitalism was so mean, and he was authoritarian and horrible. And then I look at Gluckel, and she's like, you know, dealing with all these horrible things with such grace, because she knew she was an outsider as a non-Christian and had to become comfortable with that. They couldn't own property. They lived in coin, in money, you know. So I was just took from her, like, how do you be, what does it mean to be a traveling business person? Was a way for me to understand my dad, who had been a traveling salesman for many years. And so just like reading about Gluckel, it's like, oh, yeah. The ethics of being a traveling business person. And I loved her storytelling. And we did it as a puppet show, and with Hebrew and Yiddish and English. And it was a lot of fun with Adrian Cooper and Frank London. Michael Wex did the translation.
Any hope for that to come back so that we could see it?
It would be great. We would love to. We got a little tired of doing it because we toured it and toured it and toured it. So we just had to rest a little bit. But,
yeah. Well, Jenny, I know that you are, as we speak, in the midst of preparing for at your studio for the Sukkot Mob. I just want to say again how delighted I am to be working with you and to be learning from you. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I can't wait to get to the street.
The other thing is just if you want more about the Circus Mob, you can check the Great Small Works website. In about 2 days, we'll have all the addresses of the shows up, and also Tablet Magazine.
Right,
they'll have a
right.
Facebook page that lists all of our shows. So if you want to find out where the Circus Mob is playing near you, you can do it.
Great. As I said, I'm looking
forward. We play during the holiday.
Right. And I just can't wait. I can't wait to actually do it. And the rehearsals have been so much fun. I've had such a good time.
Excellent.
So I want to thank you, Jenny, for coming on the air. And perhaps we can talk again sometime because you have so much to offer people in terms of the history of theater and the particular type of theater that you do. I just can't tell you how much I admire what you're doing. And thanks
thank
for being here.
All right. See you soon.
Right. Take care. I have to follow that with a song. What do you say, Laser?
Sure. Why not?
Wasn't that a wonderful conversation? Jenny,
she's always so full of energy and had interesting things to say.
Yeah, Jenny is really...
I have a good story about her, actually. One time, a friend of mine was sort of down in the dumps over something, and Jenny Romaine happened to see her. She didn't know her at all, but she just saw that my friend was unhappy, and she just spontaneously decided, let's go, take a trip on the Staten Island Ferry and go to Staten Island and just, see it. So we all took the train down, went to the Staten Island Ferry, we took it across, we took a walk around Staten Island, just completely spontaneous. And it really made my friend feel a lot better. And that's just the sort of person he is.
Yeah, she's spontaneous is the word. You can't get any more spontaneous than that. And it's a lot of fun being a part of that, being part of that energy. So I want to play a song, and this is called Autumn Song. It's by Baylor Schechter Guttesman, and it's interpreted by the incomparable Tova.
Oh, fliehen die Kette.
Yes, the dulcet sounds of Teresa Tova singing the songs of Bela Schechter Gottesman. That's happening, huh? Yeah. Tell us a little more about Daniel Kahn, since we listened to 6 Million Germans. Where is he from? What does he do? You know that he collaborates with Psy Korolenko.
The truth is, I've only seen him in person a couple times, and I'm not the person to talk to would be Rochel Kafferson. I think she would know
about him. Well,
but he's great. You know, I think in terms of, I mean, he's like my favorite of the modern klezmer people.
You know, he's from Detroit originally.
Is he? And you ask me.
As far as I know. And well, you know, I say a lot of things here that aren't really so, because this is the New Yiddish Rev Radio Hour, the show that people love not to listen to. I can say whatever I like. There's nobody listening out there.
Well, I'm listening.
You are. You are, and hopefully there are some people listening, but you know, it's still hard for me to accept that as we speak right now, people in every corner of the globe can hear what we're saying if they want to.
That's right.
And if they don't want to, look, Sky, was sagt es mir?
Yes.
I'm, you know, it's costing me the same. One way or the other.
It is a miracle, but it's a miracle multiplied so many times that everybody can do it. And so
we've got about 5 minutes. Can you tell us what Jugendtreff has in store for the coming season?
Let me see. Well, we haven't had a meeting in a while, but we had a few days ago. Actually, there was a new program we tried. It's a sort of partnership together with YIVO. It's the Institute for Jewish Research. And the idea is to bring young, sort of young Yiddishists, young people interested in Yiddish, into YIVO, because the truth is young people don't so often go into there unless they're doing some particular research.
Right.
To bring them into and sort of expose them to some of the treasures that they have in the archive, in terms of they have, you know, obviously they have letters and books and documents and, you know, musical stuff and pictures, and they've got you know,
and
tons
how
and
is
tons.
How is this partnership going to work?
Well, we're working together with an archivist, a young archivist in the music archive there, Matt Temkin, Mottl Temkin.
Of course.
So he's one of our friends already. So he can find, you know, he knows all the treasures there. He can fish around, find rare klezmer recordings and speeches by famous people and all, you know, party music, all sorts of stuff he can find there. And, you know, that's stuff that somebody should listen to, you know. It's been sitting there for 8 years. It's about time that somebody should come and hear it. So this sort of event will provide the opportunity for young people especially to come in and enjoy it. Have something to eat.
Good. Is this an initiative that has to do with the new head honcho over there?
In fact, it does. It was his idea. I talked to him once a month or two ago, and he suggested this. And I suggested it then to our board of Jugendtruf, and they thought it was a good idea. And, of course, once everyone thinks it's a good idea, then it's actually a matter of organizing it and actually doing something. And that takes a little bit longer. But this past week they did organize the first one, and I've heard that it went all right. And next time it'll be even better. And then once we get it going, then we'll announce it a little bit better, so more people will know about it.
Uh-huh. I have heard that the new head of YIVO is really quite. What is it that somebody said that he really wants to see some results, some concrete result? He wants to see living Yiddish as a focus. Does that seem accurate to you?
Well, I've heard. I mean, I'm pretty new to this world, so I don't know all of the history of. But I've heard that for many years, YIVO has tried to be sort of more exclusively academic. And to have less Yiddish, and I mean, YIVO has a in the old days, YIVO has a sort of identity problem, because of course it was founded as the Institute for Yiddish Research, and the whole idea was that everything should be written in Yiddish and published in Yiddish and research in Yiddish and spoken in Yiddish. But of course, with the time, that, you know, Yiddish is no longer an accepted academic language by and large. You know, when the audience for those sorts of programs is more and more limited. So YIVO does not really know what to do with itself over the past 30, 40 years. But I've heard that the new director, Jonathan Brent, is more open to sort of Yiddishist activity and interested in getting that sort of stuff also into the program, not just, I don't know, conferences about you know, Jewish doctors in Amsterdam, or I don't know, whatever, you know, that's sort of more obscure, obscure stuff that YIVO's been doing in the last couple of years.
Well, listen, we've got about a minute left. I think we should go out with a song. Let me play something else from Tova, since, you know, we'll play now Winter. How about that?
All right.
And we'll go out with that. Laser, Ashainam Dank.
Mishtof Ravos.
As usual, you have been a wonderful co-host. I want to thank Jenny Romaine. You know, go to Great Small Works. Google it, Great Small Works, and go to the website. Find out about the dates for the Sukkos Mob. I'll be there, and I'll be looking for you. So have a great Gemar Chasima Toiva to all of you, and have a good one.
Till all this in that place. sind die Hüter, kommt mit der Mut, heilige Zeit, lichtige Wunder, wie waren sie zu mir sich, Schnee nachts zu Hauptstück geblieben. Von Weite zum Mannen, Geroffer der Mannen, von Eugen zes und ich der Zweck. Es wird so erwähnt, bis durchgezogen. Lost poor Schnee. Hast mich gerufen, und ich bin gekommen, gelaufen wie ich abgekehrt.